it always makes more sense as an entrepreneur to work with capital that is actually more than just a check, that's meaningful, that you can take, not only grow your company, but also grow your community to benefit the people around you who have supported you to that point in your life, that want to continue to see you succeed, and they should be part of that. They should be allowed to be part of that and participate in the upside return of it.
Welcome to Profit to the People, the official podcast of Republic, where we believe you have the power to invest in the future you believe in. I'm your host, Lisa Carmen Wang, and I'll be taking you behind the scenes to meet the team, founders, and investors in our community who share their insights on the future of investing and how they're bringing profit back to the people. To learn how you can invest, head over to republic.co and follow us on all social channels at Join Republic and at Lisa Carmen Wang.
Today, we are joined by Chuck Pettit. Chuck is the CEO of Republic Retail, and he's here with us to kick off 2022 with a bang as we talk about the most exciting developments from the past year and what you can expect from Republic going into 2022. Chuck, welcome to Profit to the People.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to share what went down in 21 and what we have in store for 22.
So to start off, what is Republic Retail and how is it different from the other arms at Republic?
Okay, so Republic Retail is all public-facing investment crowdfunding activity that you find on republic.co, soon to be republic.com even. Public-facing investment crowdfunding would be typically where virtually anyone, anywhere, regardless of wealth, can invest in private companies. How that's different from the other operations at Republic is that the other operations at Republic typically deal with accredited investors only. So you need to have a certain level of income and a certain amount of assets to participate in those deals, which we could find in Republic Capital, typically later stage private companies that are available to high net worth and family offices, as well as some institutional investors. And then the blockchain arm is primarily an advising and consulting practice for companies looking to deploy blockchain across their company or an asset of theirs. There is also a capital raising component with that service that sometimes does come back to Republic Retail and raises from the crowd, both from accredited and non-accredited investors.
Got it. So you are the CEO of Republic Retail, and I want to know what drives you personally. Why are you working day in and day out to push forward this mission at Republic?
Honestly, it goes back to the first time I met Ken Nguyen in probably 2015, early 2016. The law that we operate under, Regulation Crowdfunding Title III, was part of a law that started in 2012, but the actual finalization of that law was coming to effect in May of 2016. And it was just a light bulb moment. I personally had been through the struggles of trying to invest in private companies. Part of it was access. Part of it was the accreditation factor. There was a period in my life where I couldn't invest in companies I wanted to because I wasn't accredited. But this law and this platform, this new company, would allow individuals like myself and millions of other people around the world to participate in these activities and these investment opportunities. So it was an immediate light bulb moment for me. I knew it could be something massive and wanted to be a part of it in a bunch of different ways, and was lucky enough to be able to.
And why is it important for people to be able to invest in private companies?
It shouldn't be limited to only the quote unquote wealthy and sophisticated investors. If you look around the world, you look around your city and your neighborhood, most activity business-wise is private, and it's created by an entrepreneur who 99.9% of the time needs capital to get things going. And it always makes more sense as an entrepreneur, as a business operator, to work with capital that is actually more than just a check, that's meaningful, that you can take and not only grow your company, but also grow your community to benefit the people around you who have supported you to that point in your life, that want to continue to see you succeed, and they should be part of that. They should be allowed to be part of that and participate in the upside return of it. It's a powerful force to be able to do that. And this, law and Republic lets people participate and get it, take advantage of that, which is an amazing thing.
Awesome. And you've experienced that personally as you've what do you feel when you see people raise money on Republic that perhaps otherwise couldn't, or people who could invest who otherwise couldn't?
It's a great feeling. We have dealt with hundreds of founders, and we've dealt with tens of hundreds of thousands of investors who typically would not have been able to raise capital or invest capital in these companies. And where I'm really excited is we're kind of entering that phase now. Things started about, just over 5 years ago. We're in that phase where companies are starting to, exit, and they're starting to achieve their goals. And you'll start to see, individuals receive returns on their investment. I think in meaningful ways, more than ever before in investment crowdfunding. And I'm not talking about the accredited only rounds that are, household names, like people got into Uber 2 months before they went IPO and they made 25% or something like that.
Very exciting. So before we get into what's in store, let's take a look back at 2021 and some of the milestones that Republic Retail has achieved. So how much capital was raised during the year on retail, and how does that compare to previous years?
So we're north of $200 million on the year. That includes dollars raised for companies using the Securities Exemptions Regulation crowdfunding, Reg CF, basically 90% of what you see in Republic. Reg A+, which is another exemption that allows both non-accredited and accredited investors to participate. It's just different barriers to entry and different regulatory environment, but you can raise a lot more. $75 million with Reg CF, you can raise $5 million. And then some Reg D, which is for accredited investors. In comparison to years past, it's pretty substantial. So we're at about 210, maybe 215 million on the year. And in 2016, we were at 600,000. I believe in 17, it was something like 7 million. Then it was 12, then it was 15, maybe 20. And then we got to 41 million last year in 2020. 2021, about 5x more, just north of 200. So feeling pretty good about the traction. Again, the vast majority of that has been in deals that were available to both accredited and non-accredited. These were not the accredited only deals that you see ran through Republic Capital, where they've done several hundred million dollars alone this year, have over $1 billion under management. That is separate from the retail numbers that I'm sharing today.
And what do you think is driving this exponential growth?
There's better product market fit for sure. 5.5 years ago, we were facing a lot of stereotypes, both from investors and from issuers, the companies raising capital, over time. And it was because of a lot of what Republic did, a lot of what our competitors did. We pounded the pavement. We educated both sides of the market. And there's been a snowball effect where companies see someone else do it and they say they can do it themselves. Investors see other investors participating and they want to participate themselves. Pretty soon, there's a lot of fingers being pointed and there's a lot of momentum being created. And that snowball starting at the top of the mountain, very, very, very tiny, is now rolling down at a pretty high velocity and getting larger and larger. It also comes with success stories. Companies who either were fed up with the venture model or were unsuccessful with the venture model and raising capital, coming to Republic and raising meaningful capital, both seed and growth capital that they have then gone on to grow their company and garner attention from institutional venture, you name it, investors who've taken them, even to the next step. And that story's repeated itself so many times, and it's very easy for us to share that information. It's also, the startup community, the entrepreneur ecosystem, as many millions of people who are participating, in it, it's still very small. And when they talk, their friends, their network, the organizations that they participate in are listening, and it's just getting bigger by the day. You're starting also to see growth pick up in different life cycles of the ecosystem. So you have the early stage companies who were some of the first adopters, and now we're seeing a large uptick in the middle stage companies who have kind of already been there, done that, and they see the power of the crowd, and they want to be participants in crowd investing. So they're taking a shot at it more than ever before. In the late stage, even some household name type companies are seeing a major uptick there too. Not so much yet on companies who have launched live deals, because there are still some stereotypes left in that part of the industry with their board, with their accounting and attorneys and other service providers and advisors of theirs, because they're so late. They're like, why mess around with crowdfunding? Let's just get you to IPO. Well, I can talk about that in a little bit too, but at least those conversations are happening, and meaningful conversations where they're getting into the regulatory process. They're completing the accounting processes required by the regulations, and they're actually pursuing it. So it's actually a bit of a prediction for 2022. I think we will see some serious late stage, serious, you know, potentially household name type companies who utilize regulation crowdfunding and allow non-accrediteds for the first time in their company's history to invest.
So it seems like there's two forces. There's the legal side, right? The regulatory side, which has been good to investment crowdfunding. And then secondly, there's the social barriers, the social challenges around perception early on that you guys had to overcome. What were some of those perceptions that you think are overcome now that were a struggle before?
It was pretty basic stuff. Like, is this legal? You ran into a lot of attorneys who were unfamiliar with the Jobs Act and regulation crowdfunding, who were, well, their first thought was a very conservative one. Don't do it. That was the advice that came out of 90% of their mouths to their founder company, founder clients. From there, you would saw a lot of people who would kind of educate on the ropes. They would figure things out as they were bringing their client through it. That turned ugly sometimes for founders, because when you're educating an attorney to learn a new law, you're also paying them the hours, and those bills got quite substantial. We've avoided most of that, or at the very least advised companies that that was potentially going to happen, and it was their decision. But we're past founders, investors, and are conscious of these things, and that's why we built around it in a legal and compliant way to make sure that these founders are not being restricted from something that's supposed to be so positive for them.
Cool. So then let's talk about what was the largest raise that happened and who was able to invest?
It was a Reg A Plus campaign. So anyone, anywhere, regardless of wealth, could invest. The name of the company was Robot Cache. They did $30 million, which was their maximum raise goal. So they hit all $30 million of that. And I think it happened in maybe 45 days, just to give you an idea of the velocity. There was a period where they had to get an extension. They initially came out with just a $10 million goal, not knowing if it would actually work or not. It caught on. It obviously worked. They needed to extend it. So it went from 10 to 30 million after an SEC review process, and closed out the 20 million in a day, but it happened over a 45-day period. So pretty powerful, obviously. That came from about 11,500 investors.
Wow.
Who are now investors, and they have a stake in the game, and they're looking for this company to grow. And I think they actually have some positive plans in store for their investors in 2022. It'll be one of those interesting ones that I was kind of predicting, you know, as a potential exit for investors. So we'll see what happens there.
What was Robot Cache, or what is it? What kind of company?
It's a video game platform. So a lot of gaming enthusiasts were aware, especially of the founding team. They've been in the video game industry for 25, 30 years each, had participated and worked on a lot of household name games that even you and I probably played as kids. And they've kind of taken this new digital approach to owning games. So you can easily and freely trade games that you own using their digital platform, as opposed to having like the hard disks and the hardware in your home.
Mm. What do you think in particular was so effective about their campaign or their marketing?
It definitely helped that video games were kind of front and center during COVID, and still are a little bit to this day. One of the stories, you know, of growth that came out immediately after COVID set in March of 2020 was people are at home playing a lot of video games, and they're spending money on a lot of video games. And it just got into people's, you know, psyche that it was a growth area. And that is a very small industry. There's a lot of, not even a lot of, there's a handful of major participants. And then there's a handful of very high level, high performing companies. And then there's a ton of independent developers. And the high level performing company is where Robot Cache came out of. They had that experience, the team and the industry, really top 20 industry experience of all of gaming. And they delivered on their message about what they were trying to build and what they had already built. And people were liking that.
That's great. And so, I mean, there's so many offerings on Republic Retail. How does a new investor navigate the site and figure out what they want to include in their portfolio?
It's tough, and we need to get better at that. I do know in the background, there is a search function that's coming out onto the homepage. Currently, if you click on companies, it'll take you to a page where you can search based on a bunch of different parameters. Easy things like, you know, newest campaign or most raised, but you can get down to the particulars, like what type of company it is. Is it in real estate? Is it in gaming? Is it in healthcare? You can filter and search for the companies that you're targeting and go from there. The most important thing that individuals can do when, you know, reviewing or analyzing a potential investment, to me at least, is to utilize the issuer dashboard, the deal page. Talk to the founder. Write your question out in the open so everyone can see what your question is and see what the answer is as well. It's your opportunity to connect directly with the founder and find out anything that you know, need to know directly from the horse's mouth. It's super, super powerful. I've been in situations where I've made private investments and essentially had no conversation or no relation with the founder. That's completely the opposite of Republic and the deal page. You're supposed to have a relationship with the founder. You're supposed to ask questions. We've made it in a way that they can handle having hundreds, if not thousands, of relationships at one time. There are tools that they use to communicate with you. So don't feel like you're getting in their way. You're not. They actually feel a lot of warmth and responsibility when these, you know, questions come up to them. And warmth from you as being like, you know, curious and involved enough to ask a question, and responsibility to answer you in a you know, professional and productive way.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think that making that clear, that it doesn't matter if you're putting in $100 or $1,000 or $10,000, that founder is going to treat you like a valuable investor, right?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, no hesitancy. Definitely don't be shy. Ask the question that you want, whether you're making, like Lisa said, $100 or $100,000 investment. All investors are being treated equally in these campaigns. And that's really important to know. I think it also shows like a sense of sophistication for the crowd too. Like, they understand you are dealing with hundreds and thousands, sometimes tens of thousands. We had a campaign this year that had 29,900 investors. And the reason why they're not too comfortable is because they don't want to get in your way. They want you to grow and they want your company to be successful so they get a return on their investment. It's definitely it's either conscious or subconscious, but I think either way, it does prove a part of what I've always said, is that the crowd investors are sophisticated.
So you guys have many, many different industries. There's video games, there's real estate. This year, Republic also went into the metaverse. And could you touch briefly on Republic Realm?
I will. Just to recapture that, the reason why we have these verticals is so that our investors have optionality. Part of it's our work, part of it's the product market fit, you know, getting stronger and stronger. But as an investor, you should be able to find early, middle, and late stage companies across the various verticals, real estate, video games, small and medium-sized business, healthcare, music, etc., but also different types of securities, equity, debt, revenue share, and cryptocurrency. That gives investors the ability to build a diversified portfolio, to get a particular strategy, whether they have an income strategy or a long-term growth strategy, or it's a mix of those two. They're able to do that through all the different options that they can find on Republic. Republic Realm, our foray into the metaverse, is a very cool story. Currently, I believe it's still accurate. I'm sure there's definitely more players, especially one named Meta. You probably noticed Facebook, but I believe we are the largest landowner in the digital metaverse in the world. We definitely purchased some of the largest land ever acquired in the metaverse in the world before. So we're up there, and continue chipping away and building that part of the company out. We launched a Rig A campaign for it on, I'd say, November 17th, that week before Thanksgiving. The Rig A is not qualified yet, so we launched under a Testing the Waters campaign where we can take reservations but not payment. Once the Rig A is qualified, then we can finalize payment and finalize the investment. But since November 17th, it's actually taken in $66 million in reservations. The maximum raise allowed by law under Rig A is $75 million. And feeling pretty good that that one, once the Rig A is qualified, will actually achieve the maximum goal of $75 million raised from the crowd. And that one, again, is available to anyone, anywhere. Virtually anyone, anywhere, regardless of wealth. So accredited and non-accredited.
It's very, very exciting. So Republic is always kind of cutting edge, leaning into the metaverse, going into different verticals.
Music. I mean, so Republic culture, we're calling it, the arts, music, alternatives, etc., collectibles. That is being powered by blockchain. We're using NFTs to help track not only the investor, but the revenues that are created by that opportunity, and then make sure that it's obviously allocated and paid back to the right investor. I think, you know, the deals that we're working on in culture, specifically some of the musicians and their records or their music catalogs or their individual songs, that's going to be a very, very big thing. We need a little bit more time. The structure, it's difficult. And there's been a lot of people who've jumped into that industry to digitize and fractionalize ownership in music. And we're just about there. More deals will be coming out soon. And then we're looking at ways to actually accelerate it to be able to capture the demand, both from the music industry as well as from investors who want exposure to, especially, you know, artists that they're familiar with and are fans of. And it's super exciting. I know I'm being a little vague, but it has a little bit more way to go. That's going to be a pretty big thing for retail in the future.
Right.
In collaboration too with our blockchain team, which is cool, because it's nice when we can collaborate internally together on, you know, different skill sets.
Mm-hmm. And for investors who are interested in all these different verticals, how many companies do you think an investor needs to invest in order to be successful?
That's a great question. And I do have some thoughts on that. We'll be coming out with some content as well about it during 2022, the first quarter. And to me, I think the minimum you got to have is 30 companies in your portfolio. And it comes down to your preference and how quickly you do that. It should be based on the viability of the investments that you're making. So it could take a week, it could take a year, it could take 5 years. But I think you should set a goal of somewhere in the neighborhood of a minimum of 30 companies. And you try to achieve a few here and a few there over a time period that you're comfortable with. And that's based on, you know, what your income is like, how much savings you have. Obviously, don't want to make, you know, an investment you can't afford to lose. These will be sitting on the side for a while. The typical, you know, time horizon for an exit in a private company, somewhere in the 7 year mark. Sometimes in the 5 year mark, sometimes in the seven, but it can take even longer than that. But it also depends on what your investment goals are. So we talked about, like, is it income based or is it growth based? Are you going only for moonshots? If you're going only for moonshots, I'd probably say you need to knock that up by about 20 companies. If you're going for income, you could probably decrease that some. You can find a lot of high quality, you know, debt and revenue share deals who will pay income out over time. And you can actually start to get a sense and calculate what that will look like to your wallet over a period of 6, 12, 18, 24, 36 months, because each of the terms will be listed specifically on the deal page. And you can kind of calculate that out, figure out this is what my income would look like if I make an investment of X over a period of time. One thing that I actually wanted to say about 2020, and it's pretty cool and doesn't really come up that much. Sometimes there's some chatter on social media sites where people say, you know, it's great the company raised $30 million. It's great that, you know, Republic raised money. But when are investors getting money back? Like I mentioned before, we're getting to that phase where companies are actually starting to realistically and seriously approach exit, whether it's IPO or an acquisition. And that means investors will be getting capital back, and that'll be part of that monthly payout period, payout amount that I'm describing in the future.
Great. Very exciting to see that investors are getting their money back. So when we think about 2022, I know that Republic has ambitions to go global. It's already going global. What was some of the big things? What would you say the biggest thing that happened in 2021? And how is that contributing to this global vision?
One of, if not the biggest thing that happened to Republic, and I think it's also one of, if not the biggest thing in the industry, is we announced our intention to acquire Cedars. Cedars is out of London, UK. They were the world's first investment crowdfunding platform. They came out of the gates in 2012. I should know that. I spent 6 months doing diligence on the deal, but I believe it was 2012. So had about a 4 or 5 year head start on North America and Republic. And to me, that was really a kind of it's a great moment for the industry. It's not just for the crowdfunding industry, but the investment industry. And I think it kind of, I know personally, it definitely, sent shockwaves in a maybe not mega shockwaves, not like a huge tsunami shockwave, like type stuff, but it was definitely, message received across your, standard or modern investment industry, the Wall Street type folk catching notice of it and saying, wow, something is actually happening in the investment crowdfunding landscape. If one can go and acquire another for that substantial amount of capital. And now having a true global presence, when we can fully integrate and cross list deals, take investors from both sides of the pond. Yes, there is some regulatory navigation. There's some licenses that are needed. There's some approvals that are needed. These are all things that we'll be working on for probably the bulk of 2022. But I do see that really becoming the reason why this industry is going to be known as a success. If we're able to pull that off, and I'm feeling confident that we will, we have the right team in place on both sides. We have the right integration team, the right strategy about going about that. And we have the time to execute on it, and it's going to be exciting. I'm really, really very happy about that.
Awesome. Anything else that you think is kind of big predictions for 2022?
This one's not too exciting. I've already shared a few. Obviously, there will be some sort of major exit as one of my predictions. But I think 2022 is going to be the year when you see more product market fit for Regulation A plus. That's the one that both accredited and non-accredited, they can raise up to $75 million. And the reason why I think there will be better product market fit for it is because companies are starting to take note that not only can you raise capital using Reg A plus, but you can also use it as a realistic, inexpensive, and efficient way to IPO your company. And you all know that the story has been in the private world, that in the private company space, that they're all sitting on the sidelines and all this alpha is being kept locked up out of the public domain. There is pressure from boards. There is pressure from investors. There is pressure from, even executive teams to exit. And when that flood of companies comes, there's not going to be proper coverage. I think there was only something in the neighborhood of 200 companies that IPO'd in all of 2021. There should be probably 2,000. And how is that going to be serviced? Not Morgan Stanley, not Goldman Sachs. They won't be able to cover them all. They won't want to cover them all. Companies will be able to go about their own through the Reg A plus model. And I think that's going to become a story during 2022. And you see it come to fruition in 2023 with a serious uptick in the number of companies who launch Reg A campaigns, but specifically so they can IPO, like I mentioned, in a much more efficient way. Soon after the Reg A campaign is over. Not exciting, not like a big, unveiling of a huge guesstimate, but to me, it is super important because it further, grows our industry, our company, and it ties us more into the ecosystem than ever before once you start seeing that happen.
Well, overall, I think a lot of really exciting momentum from 2021, a lot of big things that are yet to be seen in 2022, but we're excited to see how Republic expands, what kinds of new deals are coming out, new opportunities for investors. And final question for you, Chuck, as the CEO of Republic Retail, what does it mean to you to bring profit to the people?
What does it mean to me to bring profit to the people? It's important. It's coming full circle back to that, to that moment that I mentioned 5.5, 6 years ago, where it was a light bulb moment for me that this can be extremely important and powerful to not just the, startup ecosystem, but business and our entire economy, and helping make that loop and helping close the gap is really important for me to see, come to fruition. And of course, part of that is bringing profit to the people. Is that, that knowledge is, where it's at.
And knowledge is power. Well, Chuck, thank you so much for sharing your perspective on 2021 and 2022. And I wish you the best year ahead.
Happy New Year, Lisa. And looking forward to the results as well. We can revisit in a year and see how accurate I was.
This podcast is provided for educational purposes only by Republic and Republic.co. Nothing discussed should be construed as legal, tax, accounting, or investment advice. The views of the presenters may not be the views of Republic and its affiliates. Always consult with trusted professional advisors before making investments. Private investments are inherently illiquid and may result in a total loss. All rights reserved.